Blog Talk Radio.
The mediocrity that I won't accept. As long as God give me life, I'm gonna give my best. Greater is in me than what your eyes can see. My current situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to discourage me or fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far, and the evidence of things that I've not seen. I'm gonna go higher. Don't tell me that I can go higher. There's more than
let us tonight sing up our life.
wiser, got to work harder. In the end, it will get better.
Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Please don't put the fire.
I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and as always, it is a pleasure to be here with each and every one of you out there listening and tuning in to us here every night. We would like to thank our sponsors who are sponsoring this teaching and putting on this teaching for us tonight. We're going to give thanks to Reverend Dalton, Reverend Wilmore, Reverend Collins, and Reverend E.D. Whitman. Also, we would like to thank these follow the churches that are listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, out of Greenville, South Carolina, out of Memphis, Tennessee, and out of Akron, Ohio. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title of tonight's teaching is You Must Let Him Prepare You for Suffering. And that's going to be given to us by Brother Emmett Overton. Now, this is a live teaching. I encourage everyone out there listening, if you would like to call in, you can call in at area code 646-378-1857. Please grab pen and paper and take some good notes, and that way you'll be able to give commentary at the end of the teaching tonight. But once again, if you want to call in, is area code 646-377-1857. Please limit all questions and commentary to 2 to 3 minutes. We have to make sure we have time for everyone out there listening to get their questions in. So please list all questions and commentary to 2 to 3 minutes apiece. Now, with that being said, let's go ahead and get started with tonight's teaching. You must let him prepare you for suffering.
Okay, Brother Mike, let's get a mic check, sound check, testing one. Sound check, testing one. Sound check, testing one.
I got you loud and clear.
You got feedback. Okay. I can hear you. I can hear myself. Okay,
right,
can you hear
me
now, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. All right, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We have a sermon that may not be suitable for certain Christians. If you're a true Christian, it would be suitable for you if you would allow the Word of God to correct us. The Scriptures is for one thing, to correct us and to teach us how to live. And sometimes you may know more than others, but you still have to be responsible. So when you know something, you have to live by it. And God has given us scriptures to protect ourselves so that in time, we'll have sound doctrine. The Bible says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Well, this teaching is like out of season to the Christians, not all Christians, but to the majority of this wave that's pushing out this prosperity wave, this name it and claim it. There's nothing wrong with all that. But you know what? God is looking for sovereign people to suffer for him. And I'm going to show you that you got to be prepared to do that. Now, we had a lot of hits on that, on the first one. But this one, let's show you what do you need to do to put yourself in a position to be really highly blessed by God. Don't forget, we're talking about you must let him prepare you for suffering. And some people don't want to suffer. Some Christians just want it easy. Just give it to me. Let me pray. Give me my Mercedes Benz. Give me my car. I need a brand new computer, and I'm good. My bill's paid. I got a nice husband. Everybody helped. That's not Christianity. And the early church really did some serious suffering. But before I do that, I want to warn people. And I don't want to make a person think that I'm trying to convert them into anything. God's word is true. And if you want to totally be blessed, you need to check out the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is the day that God consecrates to make holy. Jesus says he's Lord of Sabbath in Mark 2:28. You can't leave that out. But just in case if you do leave that out, I'm going to give you something, because we're talking about suffering. And sometimes we could break God's word and suffer from breaking his commandments and be suffering for disobedience. And you really need to search the scriptures on the Sabbath. We had a lot of teaching on the Sabbath. Go in our archives. You can find it. Or we'll send you something. Because let me show you something where a curse can come in on you if you start messing with this stuff wrong. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. It says, the Sabbath observance stressed. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 19, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the king of Judah come in, and by that which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the words of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judea, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourself and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I command your fathers. But they obey not, neither incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instructions. And God is very serious about, and I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm a Christian. Don't classify me as Seventh-day Adventist. They don't speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I'm about everything in the Word, and it's so sad that certain people honor it and certain people don't. And I really believe that's a division in the body of Christ. But even I know brothers that, you know, worship on Sundays, and I love them. I don't never tell them about it because I don't want any argument. I want to keep peace with the unity of the brethren. Psalms 133:1. Remember, keep peace. Never, if you see yourself teaching something that's causing division, don't do it. But just ask the Lord to show them, or don't even have to do that. Just pray that they'll see it. And if they study the word and they a fellowship with God, God's word will come to truth to all those who seek him, including the Sabbath. Then it says in Jeremiah 17:24, and it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burdens through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall they enter into the gates of this city, kings and princes, sitting upon the thrones of David, riding in chariots and horses, and they and their parents, the men of Judah and the inhabitation of Jerusalem and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plains, from the mountains. And forth the south, bring forth burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bring sacrifice and praise unto the house of the Lord. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in that gate, therefore, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. That's a curse. So, you know, some of you, if you really want to be blessed, start observing the Sabbath. Forget what your mom and daddy told you. Just try it. Just try it one day. I guarantee you'll get really blessed out of it, and God will show you that he wants you to observe his Sabbath day. All right. Now, let's get into the suffering thing. Now, God wants us to suffer to become part of his inheritance. We said that in part one. But the understanding, the trials and the tribulation that we all go through, I go through a lot of them. I have to look, it takes faith to just to pay these bills on a monthly basis. A lot of faith and praying, believe me. And we all have certain challenges. But within these challenges, how do we respond to these challenges with our faith? And God wants to count on us as being worthy to represent him on earth. And people need to really see the salt that shines within us. And that's Christ. So God has to purge us away from our old ways, our old thinking. There's no way that you're going to tell me if your mind is not renewed that you're going to be prepared to suffer. Because you're not. Because you're still being the flesh. We have to die to that. And that's a battle every day. Sin is lying at our gate every day, Genesis 4:7. And thank God for his mercy and grace in time of need, Hebrews 4:12. Now, what I want to show you tonight is that when we suffer, what does it do for us? What does it do for someone who's watching us? It does a lot. The Bible says when we deal with trials and tribulation, God is trying to increase our faith. Let's look at this in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Watch this now. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season." Tribulation works only for a season. It's not forever and ever. Now, if you're going through something for 3 years, that's a curse. You're telling me I'm still waiting on the Lord. No, you need to break that. But there are some times where God may not want you to have a breakthrough. There are some times God says, "My ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts are yours." And God wants to put you through something to test you so you can strengthen your faith to depend on him and not depend on others and not depend on your flesh, which brings a curse upon yourself, according to Jeremiah 17:5. He's trying to get you to humble your flesh, submit your pride, submit your will to his will. That's the purpose of suffering. And you know what? Won't nothing bother you once you've been through so much. You mean, I've been through so much in the deliverance ministry with demons. Don't nothing bother me. I don't let nothing bypass me. I don't let people's problems. When I hang up the phone, I love people. I can't go to problems, go to sleep with their problem. I give it to Christ, and I stay comfortable in his will. And his will is to be seen in people. We need to be a peculiar people. And if Christians acting like the world, then what does the world have to see to make themselves any different than us when we act like them and want to be in the world? See, when you're suffering, you don't have time to be in the world because the world's going to hate you and mock you. They're not going to like you because Christ said they hate me because they hate you. You know the blessing with that? Because we're in a materialistic society and certain churches don't bring this topic across, it needs to be taught more. And tell someone about this radio station tonight. Let someone know that we're talking about something that very few people want to deal with. We got other interesting topics that we're going to deal with you because we're moving out of deliverance. We've been in deliverance for 6 months. Now it's time to spread the other gospel to the next half a quarter of the year. Now it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need ye be in heaviness through manifold temptation. Now, let me say this here. You cannot tell me that God can't help you get out of temptation. I'm that weak. That's a lie. So don't lie on God. Let's make sure that we don't do that. Because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there has no temptation taken to you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. But see, we don't want to make the way to do that. So we'll bite to the sin. You can't suffer like that because you're partaking in the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. So you're going to have a battle with that. And the demons in you don't want you to suffer. Oh, no, them demons are going to tell you, no, you don't need to be suffering. Mm-mm. You don't need to be suffering. Go get something to eat. You don't need to be fasting. Why are they persecuting you like that? Why are you letting them talk to you like that? You know, I remember a time you go tell them to go F off. Oh, the demons speak to people like that when you're going through that. So you got to be in a position where the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it might be tried with fire, might be found praise and honor. You got to go through that fire. So you can be persecuted and you know he's going to come through. You're believing on some income. God is telling you, his word says you're going to receive it. You done bind up demons. You done broke curses off of you. Now you're going through it. And here come the enemy. Go on, go palm something. Go palm. He don't want you to wait. Just wait on God. God's going to deliver it because God wants to prepare us to not only to suffer, but to inherit all of his blessings and to receive the power from the Holy Ghost and every 9 gifts that's available to each individual. Not only does he want you to suffer, he wants you to prosper. Above all, I wish that thy soul prosper, even as you, 3 John 1:2. So I'm not preaching some poor Jesus. Jesus is rich financially also, but I teach it in a perspective manner where I don't want believers to think that Jesus Christ is about one thing, Mercedes-Benz. No, he's not. He's about righteousness, and suffering partakes of that. Now, when God is dealing with us, he has to chasten us. And if we don't want to be corrected by God, there is no way that you're going to suffer. It's impossible that you are going to suffer if you don't allow the power of God to break you, to humble you, to correct you. See, we don't like to be corrected. Most people don't like to be told what to do. We're rebels. All of us are rebels. Remember that. Every last one of us are rebels. Now, to get you in that position where God wants you to be, you have to let him chastise you. I would like for you to turn to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And nobody likes to be chastised. You know, it's sad that most marriages don't even understand the covenant marriages. Most people don't even understand the blessings and the benefit that they have in church because of so much garbage that's been thrown out to them and junk. If it's not biblical, sound doctrines, please stay out of it. Please. All right, let's look at this. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so with so great of a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so serves it easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If we have weight, fleshly weight, weights of sin on us, we're not going to want to submit ourselves to God because we're out of the will of God. Brother Mike, give me Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Keep going.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become a door fetter to you.
Thank you. But we ain't under the law. We are under grace by Christ, and we must be able to submit ourselves to his will to allow us, to train us. Then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, if you notice that he said that the trials of your faith in 1 Peter, we just saw Peter explain that the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Now, this has a lot to do with your faith. This is why God allowing you to go through that. He's not going to allow you to suffer forever. He say, I never shall leave you, and I'll be with you all the time. But see, we haven't been trained with this doctrine. We've been trained about Noah and the ark and the Beatitudes, and this ain't even been a diet for nobody. So when someone hears you talking about suffering, what do you mean suffer? If you look at all the evangelical TV stations and all the big-time preachers preaching prosperity, ain't nobody talking about no suffering up there. So this is like a doctrine that's hid, but not by Christ through this radio station, because the Lord told me to get it out, and that's what I'm doing. But notice it says in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith in 1:5. Then in 1:7, that the trial of your faith. 1:7 and 1:5, faith. Then here we go again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This has something to do with believing in God through unbearable situations. Well, you don't have to go look on sight, for we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. We walk not by sight, we walk by faith. And it is impossible to suffer for Christ when you're not patient. It is impossible to suffer from Christ if you have not died to yourself. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father in the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten that the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the what? Chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Chastening, rebuked. And if God can't rebuke you to correct you, there's no way in hell you're going to suffer, because you haven't died to yourself. You see, in Colossians 3:3, the word God said that your life is hidden in him. So if it's hidden in him, the mysteries of suffering must be partaken of you in order to inherit the benefits of the kingdom of God in the afterlife. But everything's not invested on the materialistic life with the tithes and the Mercedes. That ain't going to heaven, baby. This suffering here gets you the investments so you can have a throne, a king, and a throne of the crown of righteousness up in heaven. So you can partake of the things of the Heavenly Father has that is in heaven, that gives it to those who are called sons of Christ. And then when you suffer, you are called a son of Christ. I can doubt that anybody today that wishes to say that they know a lot about this doctrine. I had a sister told me that her father was 80 years old, and she was being blessed about hearing on suffering. Now, notice it says that about this rebuke. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth even sons whom he receives. Now, I want you to turn to Job chapter 5, verse 17. Big Mike, give me Job 5, 17. You didn't send me no letter that you was going to be a Cleveland Brown fan this year?
No. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty.
Despise not. Blessed is the man whom God correcteth. Blessed is the man whom God correcteth. Some men don't even want God to correct them. Some men don't even want their wife to correct them. I made an error today, and the Lord said, listen to her. Listen. Humble yourself. We have to humble ourselves. We have to suffer from some. the demons do. You're suffering for righteous sake, and you take it on your shoulder to get all upset and take it personal. You haven't died to yourself. Oh, believe me, it's not easy for certain things. Now, I ain't got to the point where it's a turn of the cheek because I'm a soldier. I'm used to striking back, and God has to work with me on that. So we all got something to work with, amen? But I do allow God to chasten me, and it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable when you look at yourself. Stop looking at everybody else. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 said, make an aberration in a quiet life and tend to your own business and work with your own hands. Worry about you. You know, when you look at a mirror, let the word of God reflect you and show you what you got to do in order to be in good standing with the Father. It is an honor to suffer for the heavenly kingdom of Christ. Very few people are called to do that because very few people want to do that. And many are called and few are chosen. And I really believe in heaven that's going to be very few people up there because down here what I'm seeing, nobody interested in suffering. They want a party. They want God to give them an airplane. They want God to give them a jet. They want God to give them a commode to set his butt on, a shootout feces, $1,000 bowl to set yourself on and dump out waste. People into that. People are not into holiness. That's the problem. We need to come back to holiness, and holiness is a good representation of suffering. If ye endure chastening. Now, in Revelation 22:11, he said, he that be righteous, let him be righteous, and he wishes to be wicked, let him be wicked still. You have a free will. People have a free will. And believe me, choose righteousness over wickedness. And allow yourself to partake of the sufferings of Christ and see the blessings you get. It's only going to be for a season, he said. It ain't going to be forever. The Bible even tells you only for a season. Just for a season, we can't even do that. If ye endure it, chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, Psalm 38:1, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards. And not sons, bastards, two types of bastards. Deuteronomy 23:3, a bastard shall not inherit the congregation of the Lord, even to the 10th generation, that's wedlock. But this is just like wedlock. You're a bastard to God, because if God can't chasten you and correct you, he considers you as a bastard and not sons. And there are many people that call themselves Christians are not Christians, but bastards. But the word of God says that. So if you don't allow God to chasten you, you can be considered a bastard. Let's look at Proverbs 3:11, Brother Mike.
All right. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither weary of his correction.
Weary of his correction. Some of you get weary and quit. When the pressure get on, you pull out, you quit, you backslide, you're back in the club, you're back doing the same thing that you did, and they're going to get you nowhere. And you really feel miserable because you know you're only supposed to be up in there. Then you get double-minded. Then you get double heart. Oh, man, them demons start really working at you. Submit to God's wills, man. Don't get caught up in this mess. Let God chasten us. Let's look at Revelation 3:19.
All right, Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Revelation 3:19. Isn't that beautiful? He loves you so much, he's chasing after you to get you to change. But we have to will ourselves for this. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which contradict us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. You are not getting to heaven if you don't partake of his holiness and suffer. You see, they don't leave this in the church. This is very important, man. This is something that is important, and God just said it. For they verily for a few days chasteth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. His holiness through sufferings. Let's look at Psalm 73:14, Brother Mike.
Psalms chapter 73, verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning.
Oh, boy. Asking to chase you in the morning. Some of us need to just stop. Some of us have been Jonas for years. Some of us been running and running and, you know, you're getting tired. Give it up, man. And allow God to strip you down and chasten you. Ain't nothing like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful form of change in your life if you allow it. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see that? That's the purpose for suffering. Now, you have to let him mold you. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. He has to mold. You got to let him mold you. You got to let him make you. You got to get down and get out the way and total surrender. And it's not easy. It is not easy. But we have to die and let him increase. I've had too much of myself. I don't have no trust in me at all. I trust in the Lord. I trust in his spirit in me. We need to be resurrected with him, and we need to see the world need to see that Christianity is not based on millions of dollars and materialistic things. Jeremiah 18:1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. Jeremiah was told to go to the potter's house, where he watched a potter fashioning a vessel out of clay, because the vessel was not suitable for what the potter intended to have, he remolded it and did something otherwise that it wasn't done before. That's what God has to do to us. This is what we got to do to surrender, not your will, but his will. The parable contains several important principles of God's work in our lives. One, our submission to God as the one who molds both our character and our service to him determines to a large extent what he can do with us based on your willingness to submit. Two, a lack of fervent commitment to God can frustrate his original purpose for us. God reminds us that we have a free will. His intentions for our life is to please us and to bless us with all blessings of Abraham. It is a necessity that we will not destroy ourselves through our own stubbornness and head for destruction. But then we repent. God will bring to shape us into vessels of honor and blessing. Let him shape us. Let him mold you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Said the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. I ask you today, can you submit yourself and say, Lord, change me? It's not easy being no Christian. I'm going to be honest with you. It is not easy. I never was taught this. I'm 56 years of age. There are certain things that I had come across in my life that I had never known about the church. I was Roman Catholic for many years. I was born Roman Catholic. Mobile, Alabama. St. Francis Church on St. Stephen's Road. Altar boy. And I was so messed up with Catholicism. I was into religion. We need to, you know, true religions look after the widow and the afflicted, the Bible says. We need this doctrine. We need to submit to God. God is looking for people so he can get in there and change you. He can show you your error, 1 John 4:6. He can show you the error. He can show you the things that he wants to change within your personality so that he can create in him a work in you. But we have to want that. We have to want it from a sincere heart, not saying, okay, Lord, you're going to do this, but what you going to give me? He's given us eternal life. Why are we always looking for, some of you, the Lord has sent me, some of you miss his blessings because you're constantly praying for materialistic stuff. He wants to heal some of you. God wants to heal you now, right now. The Lord has told me there was a person with a ear infection that he's healing now in the name of Jesus. He's healing an ear infection. There's an ear infection being here. There's a person with a diabetes, sugar over 300. In the name of Jesus Christ, and as you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This person named Francis who has headaches, Fran, there are some people who are having headaches and God wants to heal you. God wants to do a lot of things for you. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Suffering is a part of being a Christian. Suffering brings humility. When we're prideful, how does the world look at us? How do we look to the world? If we're acting like the world, talking like the world, and tomorrow we're going to be talking about the world, can Christians be in the world? No. That's going to be tomorrow. I hope that this has been a blessing to you concerning the teaching on suffering. We're going to conclude this. Don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance of that radio. We need your funds. We are in a transformation of changing our radio station. We're making new changes to it. We're buying new equipment. And we did receive some income to get some of our equipment done. And we need you to continue to help us. I thank God for those people who help us. I thank God that God moved on some people's heart. Because believe me, the devil will do everything he can to stop us from being blessed. Don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. You can come into the room now at area code 646-378-1857 and hit option number 1. And when you hit option number 1, you'll be able to hear us. We're also on livedeliverance.com on our audio. We're going to turn that off and go back to regular broadcast. Don't forget to sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. Go all at the bottom where it says donation. Please sow a seed to help us out and tell someone about this. Let someone subscribe to livedeliverance.com. Shalom to you and God bless.
Hallo, ich bin der Marc. Ich bin ein deutscher Teilnehmer der Internetgottesdienste von Fellowship of Deliverance, Internet Radio and International Ministries. Ich lade euch ein, uns auf www.fellowshipofdeliveranceinternetradio, alles in einem Wort.com, sowie auf unserer Facebook-Seite zu besuchen. Wir übertragen dort unsere Internetgottesdienste live auf unserer Website, und zwar samstags um 20 Uhr deutscher Zeit, entsprechend 14 Uhr US Eastern Standard Time sowie dienstags um 2 Uhr morgens deutscher Zeit, entsprechend montags 20 Uhr US Eastern Standard Time. Samstags treffen wir uns zum Gottesdienst in unserem virtuellen Paltalk-Raum namens Fellowship of Deliverance Demonology mit Leerzeichen zwischen den Wörtern. Der Paltalk-Raum ist im Anschluss an unser samstägliches Treffen für eure Fragen und Antworten geöffnet und wir laden euch ein, euch hieran zu beteiligen. Ihr könnt uns auch auf Facebook unter dem Facebook-Nutzernamen Fellowship of Deliverance InternetRadio.com finden und uns hierüber kontaktieren. Falls ihr in der Region von Atlanta lebt, könnt ihr uns auch sehr gerne direkt vor Ort besuchen. Unsere Anschrift lautet 139 Christopher Place, Riverdale, Georgia 30274, USA. Vielen Dank, dass ihr uns auf Fellowship of Deliverance InternetRadio.com zuhört.
Okay, we want to thank the Lord for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. I need to make some announcements for some of you pastors that's out here. I have not had the opportunity to see who's in the room, so therefore I'm just going to go ahead on and make this up. You pastors who are not prepared and you're out here trying to cast out demons, please leave that alone. There's many reports of people getting poles and stuff rammed all up them. Listen, leave it alone. It's very dangerous ministry. Make sure you know what you're doing. You're going to put your family in trouble. Get the Holy Spirit and be patient to learn this. It takes the anointing. You can't do this on human strength. So if any of you are going to be trying to do this out of pride purpose, you're going to be really messed up, and I advise you to check out Acts chapter 19. All right, we don't have too many. We got a lot of questions and answers that's coming in the area of suffering, and I want to open up the thing to Mrs. Joyce McDonald from Flint, Michigan. Text and inside out to Brother Mike. I have been a Methodist for the past 15 years, Brother Mike. I didn't like hearing this sermon about suffering. I just didn't like it. Something in me crawled. Please give me a comeback.
Yeah, a lot of people don't actually like to hear about, you know, having to suffer, because, you know, hearing, going to church, you don't hear this message, a very, very popular message, you know, because nobody wants to actually admit, you know, that they like, you know, or would like to suffer through anything. But that's just part of our human nature. But at the same time, the Bible does say, you know, as Brother Emmett gave scripture tonight, you know, that if we're to serve God, and if we love Him, He's going to chasten us. You know, just like as a parent, you know, you have to chasten your children. Well, He's our Father, so He's going to have to chasten us. So at some time, you know, everything's not going to be peaches and cream your entire life. You know, in order to get you back under His will, He have to chasten you, because a lot of times we get outside of His will and we forget, we get a little too big, you know, for our britches, and forget who our Father actually is, and forget to give Him all honor and respect that He deserves. So yes, we do have to suffer, and it's not always a bad thing. It's to keep us humble, and to keep us in, you know, to as a reminder that, you know, who's in control? He is, not us. So.
This is from P.T. Stillmore to you, Brother Mike. I don't want to suffer. Why you got to teach something like this, T.P. Billmore?
Well, same reason why answer the other question, because the Word says we're going to have to suffer. If we truly seek after the Most High, if we truly love Him, then we're going to have to suffer for Him. If you think about everything that He did to His own Son, Jesus, you know, poured out the wrath that He poured out on Him because of us. Why? Who are we that we shouldn't suffer or have to suffer anything at all ourselves? You know, we were paid. You know, we were bought. You know, with a high price. You know, by Jesus. And the thing is, a lot of people don't want to realize or accept that. Yes, we have to. At some point in time, we have to suffer. Sometimes it's unfortunate. You know, some people, they suffer for, you know, a long time during their life. Some people suffer for a short period in their life. But the thing is, we have to realize, you know, we're not the ones in control. God is in control. He chooses, you know, what we, you know, how long we suffer, or this, that, and the other. You know, it's not up to us. So, yes, I'm sorry that, you know, you may not like this particular message, but it's a fact of life. You know, if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to serve and seek the Most High, then you're going to have to suffer at some point in time, and because of the fact that He's trying you to see how faithful you are to Him. He's wanting to know where your heart lies with Him. Are you willing to suffer?
Right. That's right. That's right. And so here's the problem. Suffering is a number of boot camp, man. That's all it is. Spiritual boot camp. And people don't want to suffer. And you know what? When people don't want to suffer, the Lord said, man, say this. Y'all are sorry wimps, and you won't even pray. You go in the damn bed and see. Get your butt on your knees and pray. God don't need that, sleeping, praying. When them demons that hit you, you get your butt up on them knees and you pray. So y'all don't like to fight. Y'all been blessed by this T.D. Jakes mess. That ain't nothing in the Bible, this mess. That's another Jesus. So I'm going to tell you right now, that is the Lord has sent me to tell all you, that's another Jesus. So I'm not here to be liked tonight, and I ain't never been here to be liked, because I'm not here to be any of your friends. I don't be up with people's friends. I teach the truth. I represent Christ. And God is upset at this mess. He's really upset at this mess. You know? He's upset at it. And people want an easy way out of everything. Anything easy, they want it out of it. And you know what? You'll never appreciate nothing when you go for something easy. I didn't want nothing to nobody give me. When I was in Special Forces, ain't nobody give me a damn thing easy. I earned it. I ain't want nothing free. I earned it. And this is what God wants us to do in our lives. He wants us to earn it, earn righteousness. He wants us to suffer for his sake. No, we don't want that. We want to pray for the Mercedes-Benz, the hell, where the Benz at? Okay, Reverend Tillmore Donison to Brother Mike. Why is all this teaching on suffering? E.D. Millmore, come back, please.
And because it's relevant for today. You know, as a believer, we just have to accept the fact that, you know, like I said, if you are truly seeking after the Lord, if you're seeking after the Most High, and you want to serve Him, and you want to let Him use you, you're going to have to accept the fact that He's going to have to chasten you at some point in time in your life. Look at Job. Job, who, you know, one of the most righteous men, you know, in the Bible, yet he had to suffer, you know. He had to suffer as well. He lost pretty much everything, you know, in order to gain everything back. But it was just a test of him to show how faithful he was to God, you know, to see if he was still going to serve God, you know, no matter what. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost all of his possessions. But yet he still served God and still loved him no matter what. And I hate to say it, but like Brother Emil was saying, a lot of us don't want to do that. We want the benefits of saying that we serve it, or being a Christian or a believer, but we don't want what comes with it.
So don't. And I know I've seen deliverance people. I've seen people throughout my years in this ministry. They want you to pray. They want you to cast out. They want you to use your anointing. They don't want to get their own anointing. You're going to have to suffer to get your anointing. You're going to have to burn the midnight hour to get your anointing. The anointing ain't going to be coming no zapping. You're going to have to meditate day and night. You're going to have to pray ye in the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to read 4 or 5 hours. You have to take all that. You better get God's attention. Because I do it every day, and I ain't missed a beat in 11 years. And I've never had a word of knowledge that's been missed. Can you actually verify that, Mike, live? Have I ever missed any word of knowledge?
No, sir, you haven't.
That's because I'm humble. So y'all don't want to be humble. Give me Reverend Pillman. He got 3 days full of pride. He's getting angry, gritting his teeth, plumbing 4 days. Stillman, 3 days.
Reverend
Tiggins, 3 days.
Reverend Tillman. All you brothers that brother Emmett's name, Tillman, Plumbing, Higgins, you all have 3 days to repent. Don't let pride puff you up and make you think that this message is not for you, that you don't have to suffer. You got 3 days to repent. God is listening, is watching everything that's going on, and He sees the pride that's swelling up inside of you, and you're out here playing around, getting mad and angry because of the fact that you don't want to accept reality. And the reality is, yes, as a Christian, yes, you're going to have to go through things, and yes, whether you like it or not, God is still going to reign. He is still on the throne. He is sovereign. So regardless, go ahead.
Reverend Dillmonton, Brother John, word of knowledge, Reverend Dillman said, I don't hear that damn suffering. He just said that Reverend Dillman, license plate 035970, Oakland, California, birthday 11-12-62, give him 7 days.
Reverend Dillmonton, you have 7 days, brother, to repent. Don't let Leviathan take you out, brother. Leviathan is king of the children of pride. I hope that you will listen to this message and this warning and repent for your wickedness and your wicked thoughts. You disgust the Lord with your wicked imagination. Repent before it's too late, brother.
Word of knowledge to Reverend E.D. Franklin. The Lord tell me he stinks to him. He stinks. He's wicked. 2 Corinthians 7:1, 7 days. 2 Corinthians 7:1, you stink to him. You ain't no preacher. You're filth.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Ezekiel 11:5, Reverend Dawson. Ezekiel 11:5, Reverend Dawson. Dawson, Ezekiel 11:5, he just cussed. get at SHIP.
And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, saith the Lord. What have ye said, O house of Israel? For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them.
Reverend Stanton, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Stanton. Pitiful.
2 Chronicles Pride. 30, verse 8.
It's because of 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8.
Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, with that the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you.
Reverend Bill Moore, Acts 7:51. This is his problem.
Acts chapter 7, verse 51.
Leviathan.
Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye.
7 days. Give them seven, Brother Mike. Start them now.
You got 7 days to repent, brother. Don't let pride take you out of this world. But give him the Lord his due diligence, his respect, and all his reverence. You got seven
Reverend
days
Luke
to
Moore.
Repent, brother.
His problem is the Reverend Lou Moore, same problem. Lamentations 5:7. This is his problem.
Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. 7 days, brethren, repent as well for your pride and your arrogance, your vanity.
Reverend Dillmore, T.C. Dickens, that hooping stinks to him. God says piss and dung. Give him piss and dung, Brother Mike. He said that's piss and dung to Dinkins. It's dung to Christ. Dung.
All right, hold on.
Twenty-six years.
Second Kings 18:27. I'm getting it right now.
I got your email from them loving the ground.
But Rabshakeh said unto them, Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the man which sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?
Give me Psalms 105:15, Reverend Tapton. This is for me, Reverend Tapton. Psalms 105:15. Don't even think about it.
All right. Psalms 105, verse 15. Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm.
Get it out your mind, Tapton. That's a demon. Okay, let's open up lines. Error code 702. That was word of knowledge. God, forgive me. This is some real stubborn people. Error code 702. How can we help you? All right. Okay, we're up. Dr. C. Tib Loudon. Pastor Durden, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Dr. C.T. Loudon. What is going on? All this suffering, and we have this written word. We don't understand that, and I'm back at you again because you pissed me off last week and you told me wrong, but the word is the word, man, and we don't need all that. Come back, please.
First of all, I'd like to address the issue about Christians suffering. I'd like to provide a few remarks. Now, this comes from Brother Emmett Overton's session I think it was yesterday, when he was speaking on, he gave a session on the suffering of the righteous. Well, I just want to summarize what he said right quick, and it'll help you to understand. Okay, first of all, faithfulness to God does not guarantee believers freedom. Hear what I say? Freedom from trouble, pain, suffering in their lives. Jesus, you know, in John 16, chapter verses 1 through 4, he said we need to expect that. We all going to go through that these things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They will put you out in the synagogue. They will also kill you, thinking they're doing a God a favor. Now, there were seven things I like what he said, why Christians suffer. Number one, believers experience suffering as the ongoing consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve died, God said, dust you came into being, and dust you go in and go out. You're going to return back to dust again. That's one reason why mankind have to die and suffer, okay? If you look at the first chapter of Genesis, talk about how each one of them suffered. Talking about him, he have to grow his own food now and everything like that. The wife's going to have pains in giving birth. So the first reason why man suffers is because of Adam and Eve sin. The second reason why believers suffer is because some believers suffer for the same reason that unbelievers do, as a consequence of their own actions. Just like we have a couple of passes, several days now, you know, playing hanky-panky, and what happened? Demons got me. Tried to cast out demons without knowing how to cast out demons, didn't know anything about weapons for warfare, didn't know how to talk to them, didn't know how to do anything with respect. All these come out in the name of, you know, in my name and my university, and half of them got suspended up in the air, some got broken ribs and broken arms and all kind of other kind of stuff. Some believers suffer for the same reason that unbelievers do, as a consequences of their own sin. You know, you might be smoking a little dope or something. Boom, you smoke cigarettes. You got a cancer of the throat. You're carelessly driving down the street, and because you're on carelessness, maybe you drop your cell phone or you drop your cigarette, whatever, and you stoop over to pick it up, and boom, you run the red light or you run right into the intersection and you get injured. And the third reason why we as Christians suffer, believers also suffer, at least in their own inner selves, because they live in a sinful, corrupt world. We suffer sometimes because we see our brothers, our sisters, our family members. It's not right. Sometimes we suffer when we see another fellow brethren in the Lord just won't act right, just want to walk the line. And one minute they want to praise the Lord, next minute they want to go run to their little hanky-panky, whatever they're doing. So when you see your cousin, you see your brother, you see your mama, you see your loved ones just walk in the middle line, and you hurt because you know what salvation is, and they tell me, I don't need to hear that stuff. So we suffer because of the unrighteousness of people we love. Another reason why we have pains, believers suffer at the hands of the deity. Sometimes believers suffer at the hands of the devil. And now I don't have to tell you the story of Job. Remember, God said, Jesus, Satan went to God and said, hey, I want to, you let me do this to him. He only doing what you're saying because you're blessing his socks off. You give him everything he wants. He got a wonderful family. And God said, you can do everything but kill him. And what happened? Satan put all this mess on Job, gave him boils, killed his family, everything else. So sometimes believers suffer because the devil put that suffering on us. But God got our back, as you know. Sometimes we suffer. God himself may use suffering to get our attention. Like in my case, you know, when I was young and I thought everything was fine, I was a deacon in church for several years. But what happened, to make a long story short, when you get down so low and you can't go no lower, then you look up to see God. God said, I'm going to give this person cancer. I'm going to allow this person to happen. I'm going to allow him to lose his job or these jobs. I'm going to cause him to get. And then when you're laying on your back in the hospital, say, oh, my God. Sometimes you have to be sick, dead on your back for God to get your attention. So that's one reason why we suffer. God wants your attention. And finally, God can and does suffering for the righteous. By that I mean Jesus suffered, but he suffered for the righteous. Because of his suffering, what? We got eternal life. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph suffered. His own brother sold him off into slavery. But what happened? God let him go off into slavery into Egypt, and he became the second command. He was like the vice king. And as a result, all the Jewish nation was saved because he went.
We got three minutes, and
that's what happened. So we suffer for many reasons. And the last reason we suffer is, well, I know I ran out of time, so God can get the glory. Sometimes you think a person getting all the suffering, why? And God will correct that, whatever's wrong with that person, so God will get the glory in Jesus' name.
Okay, Reverend Stentman from Cedar Africa, Wyoming. Wow, never heard of that before. Bushwhack Mountain Hill radio station. I want to welcome you to come in. Also, a guy named Francis Zilton from Brute, Montana, to Pastor Michael. Dear Brother Mike, I try to call Pastor Overton a lot, very busy. How is your relationship with Pastor Overton? Never. I guess that's what he want to know, Mike. I ain't never heard that like that before. Well, you got to ask the question. They want it.
Yeah, well, the relationship is good. I mean, we don't argue, we don't fuss, we don't, you know, fight or anything like that, you know, in the ministry. So, you know, we never had a disagreement about anything. So, I mean, everything's fine. We work good together. So, I have any problems with him. I don't believe he has any problems with me. So, I mean, if that answers your question, brother, everything's good. I mean, you have to understand that Brother Overton is very busy. For somebody to have to, you know, to come on air and teach every night and then still have to cast out demons, you know, out of people.
People don't know how hard it is.
Several deliverers.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
People call me, they get mad. If I don't do a deliverance, they'd be mad, man. They'd be mad. They used to seeing the power of God. They say, wait, whoa, where you at? You know? And it's a lot of work doing this. And I thank God for Brother Mike and Brother John. I got word of knowledge, Reverend Stalmore. Brother John, Brother Mike. Give me Stalmore, Reverend Stalmore. Job 41:34. God hates this. God hates this in him. It's in Job 41:34, word of knowledge. God hate this in him still more, 7 days.
He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride.
Reverend MacDonald, 1 John 5:21, he hates this that he's operating in.
Okay. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Reverend Pritchard got a problem with Proverbs 6:13 with young girls. He got 3 days.
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 13.
He does it every day.
He winketh with his eyes.
Oh,
he speaketh with his feet.
You dog.
He teaches with his face.
Your dog. Your dog. You're a dog.
Disgusting.
You're great nothing. Pitiful. Reverend Lillett. Give him the same thing, Brother Mike. Reverend Lillett. Job 41:32. Lillett.
Job 41:32. God, hold on. Get back to
41:32. 32:33.
He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth is not like his who is made out of fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Leviathan.
Reverend Lockett. He has a Pharaoh demon in him. Pride, stiff-necked. Don't want to loose himself to get the Holy Ghost. Want to hold folks down. Dock it. Give me Exodus 8:32. Word of knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 8:32 on docket. 3 days.
Exodus 8:32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go.
Give me Job 41:24, Reverend Tillmore, same problem.
All right, Job 41:24. Got it right here. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether stone.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, y'all got some pride. See, your brother's going to have to really humble yourself. I really believe that you're false brothers. You're not real. And I have to call you out. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm an apostle. Paul didn't have a whole lot of friends. Paul and Silas, they separated. He kept it going. So this ain't got nothing to do with me and buddying with any of you preachers out here. You come up in here, God got you in here for a reason. Reverend Clappett, to Brother John Durden. Reverend Clappett, last one, 5 minutes before we close. This is the last one. Dear Brother Jordan Durden, I am noticing that you're defending the Gospels of the full Gospel quite well when you says we have his written word. Why do you have so much passion for the tongues?
Quick response. Well, I have so much passion because, man, my heart just and spirit just joyful because all my life, man, from when I was a teenager all the way till I was 30, all I heard was we have his written word, and that the gifts that God give us to overcome and defeat the devil and his demonic spirits, we were saying, well, we have his written word, that's not needed. And poor dummy me, instead I look up what written word mean. I just took their word for it, and we all know that the written word is either the Holy Bible or the Scripture. And so I just finally got tired. I asked three different doctors, and one Presbyterian, one Methodist, and one bishop, and they all told me, no, it's gone. We have his written word. And so I found that the Lord said, why don't you ask me? That's what the Holy Spirit said to me one night. Why don't you ask me? So I went and prayed and asked him. I said, is it really true? And the Lord said, go. He sent me all the way down to Savannah, Georgia, where my sister go to church, non-denominational. And I'm going to say this in 1 minute, just my last minute. Is the priest, the pastor said, I'm not going to try to coach you. You're just going down there to the altar and talk to the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit that led you down here to Savannah. Why don't you just go to the altar and talk to the Lord? And I said, Lord, I don't know what to believe, but, you know, in my heart, it's in the Word. Ain't nothing else here. It's over. Would you please show me? And he says, what do you want? And I says, and I figured I was going to entrap him. I said, give me the tongues, the gift of tongues. And do you know what? Within seconds, boy, the Spirit came upon me, and I was speaking in tongues left and right. So it's really real, okay? Just go to the Lord. Quit going to this doctor, that doctor, this bishop, this pastor, that pastor. Why don't you just go talk to the Lord? And the Holy Spirit is the one that gave us those gifts. So why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, you said in 1 Corinthians, we got these gifts. You said in Ephesians 6, we got these gifts and everything else. Is it really true? I'm open to you. Nobody else is you. And the Holy Spirit said, thank you. I'm glad you finally asked, because I'm not a liar. You know, I'm all God Almighty. I said, I gave you these gifts. And, you know, he said, I warned mankind in the book of Revelation. He who adds and take away from my word, he's going to be thoroughly punished. And God didn't say anything going to be taken away. He said, he who adds or take away from my word, he's thoroughly going to be punished. Just go to the Holy Spirit, my brother. That's all I say. In the love of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, go to the Lord. Quit listening to man. Go to the Lord. We got it, and that's why we're teaching it. And we're trying to tell others, say, quit being deceived by the devil. God bless you. And I hope you challenge, put that challenge before the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we love you.
Amen. All right, Brother Emmett, are you there?
Okay, what else we got? And let's see, can we go back to 702, Brother Mike?
Area code 702. 702. Can you hear us?
I guess
702?
I guess not. That is it for tonight. Why we have to not be in the world tomorrow. Why Christians in the world? Are you in the world? After I get through showing you some scriptures, you'll find out, do you like things of the world? If you're attracted to the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and now of the Father, that's tomorrow. Thank W. Stillmore tomorrow, Reverend Stillmore, Reverend Dalton, Reverend Benjamin, and Reverend Ballmore. We want to thank all these people. We want to thank the churches that's been organized with us tonight. And if you would like for me to teach, please email me at obersnavy1@gmail.com. I would love to do it by Skype. Travel, I'm not interested in flying. I would like to set up something where we can go through Skype in your church to teach staff members or anyone to want to know the ministry of deliverance. I'm your errand boy for tonight. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening.
Hi, my name is Sister Yuka Nakatsuka. I'm a staff of Fellowship Deliverance Internet Radio Station. If you have a friend or family members who only can speak Japanese, please tell them to send me an email at address is j.yuka6 yukayuka@gmail.com. J as in Japan, dot yuka is Y-U-K-A. Again, j.yuka6